Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is Margaret, your host, Margaret Marshall, your host, and it's time to labrish. I hope you are always enjoying that little relaxing reggae classic by Mr. Kevin MacLeod, as it's one of my favorite pieces to get me in the mood as I transport myself to the beautiful island of Jamaica, where I grew up, and I can remember the trade winds blowing gently across my face. So I want all of my fans and listeners, and those who may come by later on to listen on the show, to the show, to just pretend you're there in your favorite chair, whether it's on the roof, on the beach, in the backyard, or on the veranda, as we had in the old days. So we're going to forget about all the challenges we had for the week and just chill. And as we say on the island, no problem, man. So let's get there by this technology that we have, you know, it's virtual. As they say, we are going to virtually take a trip. So I hope you're with me, and I'm sort of a little lightheaded today because I'm like a kid whenever I find new information, especially about history that I find interesting. And tonight, if you're on my list, you know that I'm discussing someone who I think everybody that gave birth, got married, or who died, their family had to do with this special person, and that is Jim Russell. I want to start sort of at the end. First of all, I'm using the material from Dr. Joy Lumsden, who is one of my favorite historians, because I think some of her personality, it's just the way I am. You're researching one thing and you find something else. You see a name or a statement and you're off to do something else. And Dr. Lumsden confesses that she's doing several of these snippets of research all at the same time. But, you know, if you want to check it online, I have it here right now, and it's https://sites.google.com/sites. Who is Jim Russell? But if you just Google her name, or if you Google Backyard Labrish, with Jim, who is Jim Russell, you will find information that she has provided for us. And I am going to start off, apparently, I was not there when some of this went on. I think he died in September of 1966, and I'm going to read you the excerpts, part of it from the newspaper that was published then. And it says here that, wait a minute, no, I've lost my papers already. I get so excited, I get mixed up. Jim Russell has become a household name, not only in the corporate area, but throughout the length and breadth of Jamaica. And that was printed in the Gleaner, September 1, 1966. And what Dr. Lumsden does is find that information, put it on her site, then she starts to do research about him because, as it said here, he had become a household name in the corporate area. And this is what she wrote on that page. It should be a salutary reminder to public figures of today who are concerned about their legacy to consider how many of their predecessors receive little or no recognition from later generations. Although there are a fair number of references to Jim Russell's role as marriage officer or in organizing entertainments of various sorts, there seems to be no appreciation of his overall contribution to his country beyond the days immediately after his death. This site is a very small attempt to present the contributions of a worthy and significant citizen of Jamaica. And the Gleaner Company had a quote that said, "May Jamaica continue to produce and appreciate its Jim Russells." So tonight I want to have this be part of the appreciation, because Kingstonians, I am sure, can remember his name, because I do. I even went and looked up my first son's birth certificate and saw that I got it from him. Well, I don't remember getting it, but somebody got it from him. I was so excited when I learned that this gentleman was contributing to the arts and entertainment even before the pantomime. So I am going to start, and I would like to mention that anytime anyone is on the board, anyone on the board would like to interact, make a comment, or, you know, a suggestion or whatever, just hit one on your telephone and I will see that you would like to speak with me and I will open up the mic. Now, I'll also ask people listening online, because we do have people who listen online, if you'd like to interact, please call 718-766-4558. That's the only way I can communicate with you, because I can't do the text thing or the chat thing yet. Working on it. So let me tell you now how this very dedicated, and you know, we all should appreciate her so much. Dr. Lumsden, this is how she starts her site about how she got involved. "Back in 1957, after the birth of my daughter at the University Hospital, and incidentally, this is my sidebar, Dr. Lumsden was born and raised in England, and she married a Jamaican fellow student and moved to Jamaica. So she's writing here, "Back in 1957, after the birth of my daughter at the University Hospital, I met Jim Russell for the first time, as far as I recollect, the only time. My husband took me down to church, to the Church Street office of the Kingston Registrar of Births, Marriages and Deaths, to register our daughter's birth. There he introduced me formally to Mr. Russell, the registrar, who was quite clearly a highly respected and significant member of the Jamaican community. For a time, my in-laws lived in a house on Collins Green Avenue opposite Mr. Russell's residence, where he frequently performed marriage ceremonies. So I knew a little more of his importance. It was not, however, until I began research into the period of Crown Colony government, especially into the career of Robert Love, that I began to pick up references to Jim Russell as an outstanding representative of those several generations of Black Jamaicans now largely forgotten, who by their self-confidence, determination, and competence forged the basis for the island's future development." And I was really touched by that. Now, remember that Dr. Lumsden is a foreigner, but she's really a Jamaican because I'm sure she's lived there all of her married life. And she happens to be in my age group. And incidentally, I had a son born in 1957. So we're, you know, close in age. And I'd like to tell the fans that in about less than 90 days, I'll be celebrating the double sevens. So with that said, I am asking you to bear with me because I was mentioning to someone I called this evening that sometimes this documentation, which Dr. Lumsden and Dr. Tortello, who I quote most times, always back up whatever they print with some references where they got the information. And sometimes you're not able to copy some of that. So it's very difficult, even if you do copy it, sometimes to read it. So you'll have to be a little patient with me. And, of course, my excitement sometimes add to me not really going with the line, so I always have to do a sidebar until I collect my thoughts and gather my papers. So with that said, I would like to start by telling you a little bit about her early life as she has put together on her side. First of all, I don't see any reference as about when he was born, but I do know that he had a brother whose name was Jabez, and I'm not sure how you pronounce that, Russell Jabez, it seems, who was an athlete. He was a very athletic young man. And there was a reference to him in the Gleaner on May 29, 1913. So here it is. And they were from Spanishtown. They lived in Spanishtown. I suppose that's why he was the registrar, because he started out in Spanishtown. Anyway, he was an athletic young man, compelling along with his brother James, competing in a variety of sports activities. And the Gleaner had that brother doing a 5 yards, I suppose it must have been some race, open race that they had for a celebration. And the celebration was, the Boy Scouts have a big field day in the ancient capital, Spanishtown, May 28th, the great national holiday in memory of our late Queen Victoria, known as Empire Day, was celebrated in fitting style at the old Constabulary Depot grounds here on Monday, 26th of May, I suppose, 1913. So it is already established now, so the family was living in Spanishtown in 1913, and we're talking about the good old, well, the colonial days. Let's forget about the good old. So now this brother apparently was married. What Dr. Lumsden does is try to get information about the person's life, if she's going to talk about them on her sides. And so she will trace his family, his parents, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, the only information she has here is about this athletic brother. But unfortunately, he died suddenly, because shortly after that, a few years after that, and that was in 1916, there was a memorial written by the members of the agricultural department in Spanishtown, sending their condolences to his father. Now, apparently, this young man was married, because she mentioned here, and I'm doing all of this so you can see that, you know, in the old times, families had the challenges just like families are having now. Because she mentioned that there was a possibility that the wife of this young man who died, and he was in his 20s, and the parents were not a very good one, because she put in her own you know, information about his death. They were two separate things, that there's no mention of the wife in the parents' eulogy and things like that. And I'm saying, isn't that something? You know, you can put together a lot of things about people, but it's so much cooler if we all do our own putting together before we take our exit. So I'm encouraging my senior members to just think about all of this so that we can write our own stuff and read it, leave it for our family, which will be the authentic stuff, right? Okay, so with that said, we know that he had a brother. Now, the next mention that she has is his involvement with different organizations. And this is even prior to him getting involved into the theater. Because I don't know if anyone on the board is from Kingston, but if they knew of this gentleman and if they ever knew that he was involved in theater. And if you do, please put your hand up so I can get some. And Dr. Lumsden is always anxious to talk to people who have authentic information about anything that she is researching. Almost on all of our pages, she'll be asking, if you know something about this person that I can, you know, verify, please get in touch with me. So I'm sure it goes for this too. Okay, so let's go back a little bit about the things he was involved in. And she mentioned here that he, the wife of this young man, first of all, it must, she's assuming that it was a sudden death from, you know, what people were writing about him then, and that it, whatever it was a very painful death. So she's trying to research what might have been going on the island in 1916, when he died. So let's go to him being appointed as the registrar. I think that was in 1926. The governor has appointed Mr. J.M. Russell to be a registrar of births and deaths and civil registration of marriages for the district and parish of Kingston, in the room of the late whoever. That is just something from the newspaper that she copied that was published in October 23rd, 1926. So we know then that that is when he became the registrar. So here now is what the newspaper wrote when he died. As registrar of births and deaths for 40 years, Jim Russell had a chance to encounter everyone in the parish of Kingston in joy or sorrow. And as civil registrar of marriages, he met in his Church Street office an endless stream of couples representing every section of society and with a great derivative of characters and outlook. A man of deep religious convictions, he had an almost clerical ear. And to many people, being married by Jim Russell had almost the nature of a church wedding. And that's what they wrote about him in September when he died. Now, over the years, Jim Russell met thousands of people in his role as registrar. And it's seems possible that there were some, So now we know a little bit about him and what he has done. Now let me get to the part of his connection with theater. Because what I was trying to do with this segment is to tie it in to what we have been doing over the past couple of weeks as we spoke to all our wonderful guests, especially our guest last week, who Miss Cynthia, who was with the original dancing troupe. And incidentally, that happens to be a very popular show. I mentioned to someone I called this evening that it has gotten almost 100 hits already. It's up to over 80. So people are curious, And a lot of times, this is my sidebar, we seniors believe that our stories are not important. You know, the young people are not listening. Who wants to know? But you would be surprised because dear Miss Cynthia, even though we had a lot of disturbance on the line, apparently people are telling other people about it or people are curious about early dance in Jamaica or about Ivy Baxter because people find it by Googling sometimes those words. But the last time I looked, it had over 80 hits. So, you know, everybody's story is important. So let me tell you now, the first, Dr. Lumsden wrote that the 1936 film version of the musical Showboat, starring Paul Robeson, had been shown in Jamaica in October or November that year. It is considered one of the top musical films ever. There was also a radio program called Showboat on at that time. Presumably, the popularity of these shows inspired Jim Russell to use the title for what became his most successful venture in the world of entertainment. Now, as I read before, everybody knew him as the registrar. I think very few people, if any, knew him to have been involved in the world of entertainment. So I really, really was quite thrilled and impressed by that because I thought, you know, I mentioned when the pantomime started at the Ward Theatre, and there was some mention before of shows being held there before. But I got the impression they were mostly put on by foreigners and the performances was most times, you know, an English play and that kind of drama. But starting in 1937, Mr. Jim Russell produced Showboat Concert. And this is from the newspaper, January 2nd, 1937. Showboat Concert greets New Year's at Ward Theater. A rocking company of artists brought in the New Year right merrily for a goodly sized audience at the Ward Theater concert yesterday afternoon. There was music, comedy, and dancing, and a very enjoyable 2 hours were spent by those who were wise enough to attend. Mr. Jim Russell, the promoter, and his artists are to be complimented on a very fine show. In keeping with its billed title, Showboat Concert, the stage had as background a well-rigged boat from which George Bowen sang with good effort Old Man's River, and in and around which Becca, B-E-C-C-A, and Sandy, I don't know if anybody might be familiar with those names, Becca and Sandy, who were proving themselves more and more to be the greatest of the comics and other members of the troupe, disported, wisecracked, and made music. Mr. Eric Coverley, whose stage persona was his name, name was his name spelled backward, Captain C-I-R-E, Y-L-R-E-V-O-C, I don't know how you pronounce that, but they're referring to him, was a fine head of the Showboat performance, opening it with a New Year chalk talk, very original and very amusing. He got the program well underway, and a feature of his other later appearance was an excellent drawing of our new king mounted on a shield bearing the national flag. Gags, patter, song, and eccentric dance was provided by Harold and Bennett, Harold and the girls did a bright legful chorus number. Blanche Savage sang with her accustomed good taste and sweet voice. Little Dudley, a debutante tapster, gave a promising display. Trim was in good fun form, and all went merrily. The splendid tenor voice of Grandet Campbell was one of the highlights of the program, as was Cupidon's amusing turn. Excellent music was provided throughout by Duncan's orchestra. And that was the newspaper article on the show. I see a hand up, so I think someone must have recognized the name or know what these people were talking about. So I'm going to open up the mic. Give me a minute here, please. The mic is open for 954-618. Good evening. You got Margaret in the backyard, or bubbly and excited. Who do I have? Hello? 954-618, your mic is open.
Hi, Margaret.
Hello there. Who do I have?
This is Audrey Bell.
Oh, hi, Miss Audrey. Welcome to the backyard. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Florida.
Okay. What
Fort
part
Lauderdale,
of Florida? Florida's a big place.
Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Oh, Fort Lauderdale. Well, welcome to the backyard.
Thank you. It's very interesting.
Now, did you recognize any of those names? Do you go back that far?
I didn't recognize any of the names, no.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, but incidentally, did you know that there were plays put on by locals before the pantomime? Were you aware of that?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Neither was I, so I find this, you know, very refreshing information.
Right.
And you know, I think I remember the Eric Coverley name, though.
Yes.
I really definitely remember that.
Yes, yes, I know that name. But
yes,
he has
yes,
now passed away.
Beg your pardon?
He has passed away.
Oh, yes, I'm sure. Most of these people, perhaps, that we're going to talk about, you know, because, but the interesting thing is that, were you familiar with the name Jim Russell?
No.
You weren't familiar with him?
No, no.
As a registrar?
No.
Okay. Well, I definitely was, but always as a registrar, because I noticed that his name is on my marriage certificate. So I know that. And I got married in my child was born in 1959. So I got married in 1957.
Oh, okay.
So it's really quite interesting to me. And I remember the name Eric Coverley. So if anybody else on the board that is from Kingston can remember any of these people, please let me know. But as Dr. Lumsden says, you know, so much of this history is not really documented.
Right.
Now, there's documentation about the war theater being opened and some of the performance that went there. Of course, we're all caught up with what went on with the pantomime, because one of the shows I did was on the history of the pantomime. But I do see another caller from 301-219 with their hands up, and I'm going to open up the mic. Good evening.
Okay.
You're in the backyard with Margaret and Audrey. Who do I have?
You got BJ, Margaret.
BJ! I haven't heard you in a long time. Would you tell the callers where you're calling from?
Well, actually, I am in Florida, and I've been here for a little while, but I keep going up and down the, keep going up and down 95.
I got
Now,
any of this is familiar to you?
Yes, Jim Russell. He signed my marriage certificate, also signed my daughter's birth certificate.
Yes, I know that. I was so excited.
And when I was in school there, our play, we had a play called The Merry Land of Magic. And that play, I remember Sister talking to the other nuns and saying that we have to ask Mr. Russell because, you know, they didn't have the funds and all that stuff. And I happened to be in the play. And I was on the stage of the Ward Theater. Little old
wow.
Girl.
Wow.
I
was, I'm
a girl, and I was a boy in the play. And, you know, I was getting to puberty age and all that stuff. And I was on the Ward Theater. I was on the stage. I was... I remember the songs and all the things that I had to sing in that play and everything. Of course, this is 1948, so, you know, 47, 48. No, I went to high school 48, so it was 47. And I remember Ward Theater, Eric Coverley, Miss Lou and Mass Ran.
Yes, well, you know, they became very popular and were perhaps younger, so... a lot of people know them. But I had no idea that Mr. Jim Russell was involved in theater.
Yes, he was. And what I remember most of the pantomime is when Miss Lou would say, Mass Ran, hand me my money grip, man.
Oh, your money grip, all right.
Money grip, hand me my money grip.
Yes.
That was, you know, that. So I remember those days. I'm old enough to remember, I guess.
Right, I understand. Well, we covered that was 1938 that I think the first show was. No, it was before that. But, you know, he really, really started early. And as Dr. Lumsden said, you know, there's no sort of website or information about his contribution to the arts. Okay, so the next thing was his second showboat number two, the season's best all local show, and this was this writer at the time in the Gleaner Company was Evon, E-V-O-N. A merry handful of people turned
Evon
out to see showboat number two. Excuse me?
Was that Evon Blake?
I don't know. It just has in parenthesis Evon. And as I said, you know, Dr. Lumsden just copies it when she finds something in the newspaper and then pastes it onto her site about the person. And they had a billing here. It said, All-Star feature in New York's morning showboat concert at Ward Theater. Boat docks at 10 a.m., child star Arthur and Mae Smith, Trevor and Hugh, winners of Palace Athletic Contest, Jamaica's best stars, Granville Campbell, Eric Coverley, Amos and Andy, Bland Savage, and the Ink Spots,
yes.
Red, it seems like Kid Harnell, Harold. H-A-R-O-L-D, and Arthur Bennett. New stars, Bimam Bam, Raphael Cubano, C-U-B-A-N-O, the Hot Stuffers Orchestra, the pick and best of the season. That is, you know, the billboard-like. That was written on the billboard. So you can imagine it to duplicate it from the Gleaner was a little challenging. So I'm doing the best I can to read it, but I just thought I would give the names of these people to see if people remember anything, and people that come by later just may. And I think it's also important for the young people that are involved in theater today to know some of this information.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Although they might not be learning about it, because I'm telling you, it's only on Dr. Glumsden's page that I have found this, because I tried to cross-reference and all of that. But there's not a lot of information. So I see a lot of people are getting active. So if you ladies don't mind, I'm going to close your mic again and then open up the mic for other people who want to apparently join the labyrinth. So So we'll talk later. So I'm opening up the mic now to 631-472, and I will get to 914 in a minute. So 631-472, you're on
Yeah. Hi, Margaret. This is Paulette. And I'm on Long Island, Janine's sister.
Oh, welcome to the backyard.
Thank you. A few of the names that were mentioned tonight. Eric Coverley.
Uh-huh.
That's Louise Bennett's husband.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And there was a nice picture of him.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And there were neighbors of my husband in Gordontown.
Really?
His sister lived in Gordontown, and they were neighbors. And Blanche Savage was a very... Blanche.
Yes.
She was a very good friend of my mother. And she was a soprano singer, very popular.
Wow.
Yes.
And you said there's no documentation about her.
Yes. She was a fantastic soprano singer.
Oh, this is so exciting to actually hear, to talk to someone who knows these people.
Yes, my mother's good friend. And also, there's another name. He wrote All Our Masses. He was a musician. Granville Campbell.
Granville Campbell, yes, yes.
Yes, he wrote a lot of masses, music for masses for the Catholic Church.
Wow.
Because we sang on the choir and we sang quite a few of his masses, written by him.
Wow.
Yes.
That's so exciting to hear that.
Uh-huh.
Well, thank you so much for joining us in the backyard. You can stay on. I'm going to open up the mic to 914-665.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Yes, you can stay on if you have something else.
Yes, I will.
Okay, 914-665, you're on. You're in the backyard.
Yes, hi.
This
is Carl McDonald.
And Carl, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Mount Vernon.
Oh, great. New York. Okay.
So
a lot of people come up from all over the world, so we just have to tell them where the parts of the diaspora that we are planted.
Yeah, well, you mentioned, the name you mentioned was Evan Blake.
Mm-hmm.
He was the publisher of Spotlight magazine.
Wow.
And a lot of the contributors to Pantomime were very active in their own enterprises.
What is that?
Uh-huh.
And, for example, you mentioned Eric Coverley in his early younger days.
Mm-hmm.
He was a great artist, commercial artist, had his own commercial enterprise. So eventually he linked up with Louise Bennett and got married to her. Much in his more or less declining years as far as being in the theater. But before that, he was involved with a lot of the artwork to promote the pantomime and even in the programming and so on. And of course, you mentioned some of the other stars who were involved, like Bim and Bam, Slim and Sam, and a few other well-known artists. And we looked forward to these names Christmas morning. As a matter of fact, just like you go to the movies, you hear that Errol Flynn or the top stars of that time were going to be on. You went to see him or her perform. And the same thing in Jamaica. Of course, the pantomime, from my knowledge and experience, started with British producers who presented these programs, and then we took it on and put the Jamaican flavor to it.
Right.
And of course, we look forward to hearing our patois and our jokes and so on. And of course, the Christmas morning show was a show that, well, I remember as part of a family, we look forward to dressing up in our Christmas best.
Right.
As you would say, and went to the pantomime. Of course, there are other activities during the Christmas season, but that was one of the highlights of Christmas.
Yes, and we did a show on the history of pantomime, actually, and actually listed all the shows, and we had guests that actually, just like our guests before, who actually performed.
Yes.
We had guests that performed, and last week we had a guest that was in the original group of the Ida Baxter dancers. So we've been blessed with that information. But apparently what I'm reading here was even before the pantomime.
Yes. Well for instance, you mentioned Jim Russell. I wasn't aware that he was even involved in any way.
But that's what we're talking about tonight, because I think even people who are involved with the pantomime or knew, you know, never knew that there were programs at the Ward Theatre before the pantomime.
That's right. That's true.
Because I was born and raised in Kingston, and I never knew that.
Right.
So I really think that, to me, this information is priceless.
And remember,
piecing these pieces together.
Right, and Jim Russell was identified or well known as a registrar of births and deaths, and his office was more like in New York, where we go to City Hall, and these people go to City Hall and get married quickly and cheaply, at least inexpensively. And a lot of marriages and births pass through his hands.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
From way back.
As Dr. Lums then said, you know, he contributed more than that. He was more than that.
Oh,
and,
yes.
And, you know, I have some notes on even things that he did before he started in the entertainment world.
Right.
He was
right.
responsible for a lot of things. And from what she mentioned in the little article I read, you know, the younger folks are more in sort of concerned about how they're going to be remembered, and so many of the people of the past who really even contributed a lot to the island being where it is now in terms of identity will be forgotten unless, you know, people who knew them or interacted with them or she in the capacity of a historian can
right.
bring them to life.
And of course, you have names like Charles Hyatt, who was in the Cool Runnings movie, and the Mendes brothers, Delroy, and I forget the other brother. And there are quite a few other names that came along and became very well known for participating in the pantomime shows. And, you know, people came from all over the island to see these shows, and they were very well attended. And of course, Ward Theatre has its own history.
Yes, we did a history on that too.
Oh, really?
Robert has tried to fill in all the gaps. I have, you know, we've been doing this. Backyard Labrish has been in existence since 2007. Mm-hmm. And I just want to take a minute to tell the listeners on the board or those that might be listening online or those who come by later that all the shows are archived. And if you just want to think of anything historical, that you type it in while you're at the Backyard Labrish website on Blog Talk Radio. If you just type that in, it will bring up a show, because I've covered almost everything that Dr. Tortello has done on pieces of the past and a lot of Dr. Lubsden's work. And they both of them have done a fantastic job with bringing to life. But as I say, you know, a lot of people don't have the time to read or don't like to read or don't have the time.
Right.
And what I think that we're doing is putting a voice to the history.
Oh, yes. And then, of course, we have another well-known name is Barbara Gould. And, of course, you may have covered some information
quite recent, because she's been with the pantomime for a long time.
A long time, yes.
Yes. But when I did the history of the pantomime, we really gave her, you know, we gave a lot of information about her.
About her, yes.
Yes. So tonight what we're trying to do is to fill in the gap before that.
Right, right.
Yes. So thank you for participating. And,
you can hang
around in the backyard as long as you wish.
My pleasure. Look forward to other subjects.
Okay, all right.
Continued success. I think it's a wonderful program.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. All right,
okay.
Now I'd
Goodbye.
Like to tell you a little bit more about some of the other shows, if I may. Now, I'm going to close the mic for a minute, but I'm going to open up everyone who put their hands up already. I'm already seeing that your mic is, that your hands is up, and I'll open, whenever I'm going to open the mic for you, I'll call your first six numbers. But let me go back to the rating of the show. It says here, no, I started to tell you what Evan had to say about this. A mere handful of people turned out to see the show. Did I read that already? No. I didn't finish. A handful of people turned out to see the Showboat 2 at the Ward Theater on New Year's Day. Skipper Jim Russell booked a swell lot of showboys and showgirls, and they gave what I regarded, even after having seen the Smiths' Big Apple Party. I don't know what he was referring to, but I'm sure the people who were around then knew, as one of the best vaudeville shows staged in the good old place for quite a while. There's nothing personal about this. I have done a bit of vaudeville publicity in my time. Hence, I know what shows need to make them click and what's wrong with them when they don't register with those who pay to come see. So here's his rating of the show. This is my sidebar. I'm always tickled by the way people of the past wrote, you know, how they put their words together. In a lot of times, it was a little different from how we would phrase things now. So here he goes with his rating. But just to make you see my point, let's zip up the shows. First, Xmas Morning Revels. Those of us who went have unanimously agreed that minus Cupidon and the Smith Kids, there would have been no show to speak of. The rest of the cast was as tame as barnberry hens. Now, I'd never heard that phrase used before. Barnberry hens. No, I'm sorry. Barnyard hens. So here he's saying that Cupidon and the Smith Kids were the star of the shows. Next, we had Cupidon Bits of Harlem on Boxing Night. The real title of this fiasco should have been Bits of H-O-O-K-U-M. Hokum? So let's pass it over as if it never did happen. Here's my point. Even in those days, you had writers, I suppose, commentators, just like how, you know, you have people blogging now and then you have people making comments. You know, I always say so much has changed and so much has remained the same. So let me go on with his review now. The Big Apple. Now he's referring to the Big Apple. But the Big Apple Party stepped out the class of what you may call locals. The big attraction was the Smiths. Everything more or less had the Smithsonian's color scheme, which is something that we have not got here, save and except Kid Harold's act, the old maestro, as he was introduced by genial Gene Martinez, the MC, is still tops and his classy act. But I leave my comments on the Kid for another article in which I will classify our local stage celebrities. 4-point feature. Now that we have sized up all four shows, let's return to Showboat number 2. Let's now see why it stands out among the rest. I say it was the only show of the season with a strong 4-point feature of local talent. Showboat number 2 had on board who? The Harold Bennett combination. Jamaica's ace high dancing singing clown team. Granville Campbell. That mellow voice tenor whose music will never fade from the ears of Jamaica. Blanche Savage, whose name is a byword among those who sing. And Eric Coverley, Chalk Talk, whose blackboard and easel form the background for a spring of merriment that is colorful, interesting, unique, and even educating. Headlines. There's your four-point feature. Each one is a headliner. Showboat number two had them all, plus the Smiths, and the New Year's morning dawned upon them at their best. I may not be right in saying this of Granville Campbell, so I'd rather say I've never seen him so radiantly clothed in the glory of song as on New Year's Eve morning. But there are more to Showboat too. The Ink Spots, Bim and Bam, Amos and Andy, Local Edition, and others whose acts chimed in on what I asked you to say with me was a first-class landing. Perhaps Skipper Jim, which he's talking about Jim Russell, may sail the old Showboat later on in this year. With the same crew on board and favorable weather, Saturday's was cloudy, he deserves to make a luxurious landing. I just was very tickled by that, whoever Evon is. It didn't say his last name. And as I mentioned, this was copied from the a report in the Gleaner by Dr. Lumsden on Showboat number two. So, you know, I think by going over these articles or putting a voice to them, we can sort of get a feel of what the, you know, people were thinking and saying and how things were going in the good old days. But for sure, you know, there were commentators making comments, rating shows, and all of that good stuff. Now, if anybody, I know that our last guest that was on was involved with the newspaper in Jamaica. I think he was a photographer. Would you like to, can I open up the mic and have you identify 914-665? Are you still there? Hello? Okay, perhaps not. But what I started to say is that a lot of times, as I mentioned, you know, things change, but a lot of things remain the same. So now I'm going to bring you up to 1940. It was in the 30s that I was reading about before. It says, in the late 1939, Jim Russell made plans to revive the Showboat after missing out on New Year's in that year. There is no explanation. This is what Dr. Lumsden is writing. There's no explanation for this decision, but it may possibly have been influenced by a felt need to keep people's spirits up after the declaration of war back in September. So in 1939, Showboat will take place on New Year's Eve at the Ward Theater after a lapse of 2 years. Mr. J.N. Russell has decided to promote this popular entertainment again. The last one was declared by the critics to be the best show of the season. It can be safely said that the preparation on foot, the concert this year will exceed all those of previous years. Mr. Russell is presenting Showboat with Unlimited Artists Association, and it is well known that the artists who comprise this association are in the first rank. Start the year the right way by attending Showboat at Ward Theatre on New Year's Eve morning. So that was apparently a promotion that was put up. And then she has, and for the people who really like history, you know, it would be interesting to get to her page because she has the actual bill from, you know, the billing of the show from the newspaper of that year, 1941, where she prints it out and it says, Ripley, believe it or not. Laugh the first day in the new year and you will be happy all through the year. then go to Jim Russell's New Year's morning show at Ward Theatre, 1st of January 1942 at 10 a.m., where you will get the laugh necessary. And it said admin DC and par 24 gal. Oh, this is the price. Apparently, it says like two shillings and sixpence. It's two strike four, and the gallery is one strike two, children half price, and tickets at the door. Huh. Now, it couldn't be 2 shillings and 4 pence. I don't know what that money means. I remember in my days we had pound, shilling, and pence, but, you know, that goes back so far, I don't remember. I can't believe that it could be 2 and 4 pence. But if anybody knows something, please let me know. Let me just check with anybody on the board that there are a few lines. I'm going to open up the lines. I hope I don't have any background disruption. But I'm opening up the line of 941-618, 301-219, 631-472, and 914-665. And I'm just asking, this is seems to be like, let's call it the billboard that was printed in the paper, or the information about the show, and it's copied and pasted on Dr. Lumsden's page. It's a little hard to read, but because it says underneath children half price tickets at the door, I am assuming that what is above it, which is ADM colon D dot C and PAR dot 2 strike 4. So it looks like that those are the prices of the, and then it says the gallery, another price. But it doesn't have, does anyone remember how they used to write shillings and pence? I know the pound sign, but if you were saying 1 shilling and 6 pence, how would it be written? 1/6? I don't know. Anybody on the board can tell me?
Yes, I think you're right on that. It was 2/4, because when we had our play, I remember distinctly that it was 2 shillings and 6 pence.
Ah.
And it also had to be in that range. It could never go into pounds.
Right.
No.
Well, I knew that, but I wasn't sure. So what PAR meant, apparently this is where
for
different parts of the theater?
Yes.
And the gallery was cheaper. The gallery was less expensive.
Yes. As I said, the peanut gallery.
Ah, interesting. Oh, that's why the peanuts, a little bit of money. Oh, but, you know, it's never too old to learn. And I'm sure that when the young folks find the site, they might find it very interesting to hear these things, because I don't know if the children of today, I know they know that perhaps in their history, they know that we used the English pound, shilling, and pence in the old days before independence. I could not remember how it was written, because it was changed long before. Wasn't it changed before independence?
I think so. I'm not sure, but I think so. I think it was changed before.
Yes, it was changed before independence. And remember, 2 shillings was a florin also.
Right.
Ah, interesting. Anyway, so the gallery was only 1 shilling and 2 pence. And children went at half price, and you bought your tickets at the door.
The peanut section was also called Foul Roost.
Oh, really?
Yes,
I remember that Foul Roost word. When you're high up in the highest part of the theater. Okay, and she mentions here that in 1942, Jim Russell put on a New Year's morning show, but it was not called a showboat. That came later in the year. So now here is sort of a reading from, apparently this may be another Commentary. Morning Laugh Show at War Theater. The release of Laugh Torpedoes will be the main feature of Jim Russell's show on New Year's morning at the War Theater. Full of fun and merriment, with a background of beautiful songs and dance in the program that Jim will present to usher in the new year. Some of the high explosive laugh torpedoes will be to see Sandy as a chief ranchman prepare the horse for Skipper Jim to ride, not having his previous knowledge of how to use the comb and brush. Recca, R-E-C-C-A, an old stable hand, tries to teach him at the same time and endeavors to place to replace him. See Jim in riding outfit and mounted at that, getting the ranch ready to meet a party of friends who are down to spend New Year's Day. Then to hear him sing for the ladies of the party. See Tom Appleton's entry through the back gate of the ranch on one of the ranch's donkeys, and his interfering with Louise Bennett, one of the ladies of the party. These are the other side splitters. These and other side splitters will make you laugh in the new year. So that is how they were explaining what, giving you a little, I suppose, information of what the play is about. Those comprising the party of friends are Granville Campbell, Hugh Ricketts, Archie Lewis, ZQI fame, Eric Coverley, Al and Val, comedians, Holness and Heslop, the old maestro kid Harold, Noel Jones, Josephine McDonald, Carlene Harris, Blanche Savage, Louise Bennett, Gloria King, L'Oreal and Darby, and the Reithmers, R-Y-T-H-M-E-E-R-S Orchestra. This is me. Has anyone heard of that orchestra before? R-Y-T-H-M-E-E-R-S. Anyone on the board?
No.
Oh, wow. The popular figure Fire, in parenthesis, along with the Gilmore Brothers and Tim Bim, are to wait on the party. I'm not saying it too loud. Jim has a laugh show, so be at the theater early on Thursday morning. The show starts at 10 o'clock. That was a nice presentation. We got a little insight about what the show was about. So, you know, they definitely was doing local shows before the pantomime. Because these shows were not called pantomimes. They were called whatever they were called, you know, all these different names. But I don't know about you folks, but I am finding all of this really so exciting. And to know Mr. Russell into his very executive job of, you know, registering all these births and deaths, and I'm sure there were thousands, in Kingston. And as we mentioned, you know, he really served so many people. But I don't believe that a lot of people knew about all of this background. Because I know I certainly did. So I have really been very pleased and thankful to Dr. Lumsden to bring this out to our attention. Now, I want to tell you now that sometime ago last year, I did a show on the classical musicians of Jamaica that are still performing all over. And I remember talking about an Oswald Russell. But at the time, I did not know that he was Jim Russell's son.
Yes.
Did anyone on the board know that?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Yes, this poet. And he has another son. Nev is in London now.
And his brother, he has also another son, Neville. Who went to school with my husband, St. George's.
Ah, interesting.
He lives now in Orlando.
Oh.
I saw him last year, so I could get more information about his dad.
Yes. Oh, well, I'd like to share with you what Dr. Lumsden wrote about Oswald. Oswald Russell was born in 1933 in Kingston, Jamaica, son of the popular and respected Jim Russell, longtime registrar of births and marriages and deaths in that city. He began his under the direction of Irma Helps, H-E-L-P-S, and then worked at the Royal Academy in London under the direction of Eric Grant, where he won a first prize gold medal. Later, he studied in Paris and in France, and finally at the Juilliard School of Music in New York with Edward, some name I can't pronounce, also meeting with Leonard Bernstein and other modern American composers. In 1964, he settled in Geneva, where he studied with Louis Hiltbrand and at the same time pursued under the direction of A.F. Mesototi, M-A-R-E-S-C-O-T-T-I, the studies in composition which he has begun in London. He had begun in London with Lennox Berkeley. Having been professor of improvisation at the Geneva Conservatory and at the Institute, Oswald loved is above all a concert. Oswald Russell is above all a concert performer. He has given concerts worldwide in Switzerland, France, Austria, Germany, and the former Yugoslavia, in England, Spain, Jamaica, and the former USSR, the United States, Italy, and Canada. Additionally, he has directed such distinguished choreographers as Martha Graham, Agnes DeMille, and George Balanish. And is also a composer for the Jamaica National Dance Theater Company. He composed the film score for Les Venez Lunes, L-U-N-E-S, presented at the Cannes Festival in 1969. In April 2002, the three Jamaican dances by Oswald Russell were performed in a piano recital at Churchill College, Cambridge University in the UK by Maxine Franklin, the well-known Jamaican pianist, as part of a program entitled Intellectual Piano Music for Schools. A section, the piece was based on Jamaican folk songs. The first is a bright and cheerful dance. The second, Slow and Sad, revolves around folk songs, Sammy Dead, a lament for a farmer whose death is blamed on his neighbor's envy of his unusual good harvest. The third develops the lively song Rukumbine into a fast and brilliant display. So that's the end of the article. So how I'd like to end this is to really say that I hope that what we did here this evening and all who contributed to this is really helping to celebrate the wonderful spirit and life of our wonderful Mr. Jim Russell. And it's great to know that his descendants live on, and I hope they will appreciate our celebration of their father. So with that said, I want to thank all my callers for calling in tonight. You really inspire me with your support. And I always ask you to be patient with me and my reading because, you know, I have, besides some other things, I have a challenged eyesight. So, you know, I'm very thankful because I think I am doing just the very best I can. So, with that said, you know, you can hear that I'm still so exuberant about finding out all these neat things about my people that I didn't know before. And I'm hoping that you all will spread the word about all these great people and where people can find information that is positive about our unsung heroes. Because people that contribute something to other people's lives and the world in general, because, you know, we can see by his life that he contributed a lot. You know, I have more information on him because I found out that he was involved with the theater in Spanish Town, too, during World War. I don't know if it was him or his father. There's some information that I'm not quite sure of. I'll perhaps mention it as a tie-up next week. I want to make sure that I'm giving the right information. But I know that there was reference to the West Indies Regiment being disbanded, and there was a big concert that I think was put on by Mr. Russell at the theater in Spanish Town when they were, like, saying farewell to everybody. And I will catch up on that next week when I have all the facts about that to make sure I get it right. Because, you know, all of us have something to contribute to our culture, wherever where our culture is or from, to where we live, to the cities, to the communities, and to the next generation. So I just encourage my fans and the seniors to not get discouraged with the younger generation, because I can tell you with confidence that when I was young and my mother wanted to tell me a lot of things, I didn't have time to listen. And I didn't know that in the twilight of my days, I would regret that I did not take time to listen to her stories. So I want to again tell my little story about why I'm so excited about the technology we have now. Because my mother was quite artistic. She made recordings that I found after she made her transition. And she had poems that she wrote and letters and her thoughts. And I was so happy when I found them. And I had them in my home, in what I thought was a secure place, because I didn't expect my house to burn down. But I had a fire and everything was totally destroyed. I'm still going through fragments to see if I can retrieve pictures and different things. So the moral of my story is, my mother did not have the internet. She did not have Blog Talk Radio. She could not record where it's in the clouds and could not be destroyed by fire. But we have that opportunity now. So let's embrace it and let's use it. And if any of the seniors on the board is a little timid or wants some information, this old girl is quite techy. So I'm here to help you. So just send me an email or, you know, give me a call if you have my number. And I would love to have you. And I can help you record your story privately. It doesn't have to be on Blog Talk Radio. But I really appreciate whatever input you can give when we do our shows. So I thank you all for being here. And I am going, and there are two mics open. I see two hands still up, 301-219 and 631-472. Now, for everyone else on the board, if you would like to have a closing statement, a parting, statement, just hit one on your telephone. I'll open up the mic to you because we still have a couple of minutes. And so you can leave your legacy even in a comment, because you'd be surprised who's listening to these shows. As I shared with you, the show we did last week with Miss Cynthia has been listened to, beside the people who are on the board and online, over 80 times. So somebody's listening, and we don't know who. So let's leave our voices and our passion and our ideas. So 301-219 want to have a parting comment, please do so now, and also 631-472, because your mic is already open. Are you still there?
Yes, Margaret, I'm here. You're doing a great job. What you talked about tonight sure brought back lots of memories of Jamaica and Eric Coverley and Miss Lou and Mas Ran and all those people. I'm sorry it's so cold up north, but I'm not cold.
You're in Florida. You go, girl.
And I was in the pool yesterday and today, my dear. So I'm not. It's nice and warm down here.
Right. Well, can I expect a picture in the bikini?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. I thought I'd throw that one in. You know, this is a very relaxed show. This is not CNN or NBC or any of that. So we're in the backyard, you know, so we can deviate a little and get funny. So
yes.
I really appreciate you. I had missed you. I didn't know where you were. So I'm glad you made yourself known tonight.
I was all over the place. I've been all over the place. You know, In fact, my neighbor calls me a vagrant. He says, "Do you really live there? You're a vagrant? Are you a vagrant?"
Would you like to just mention to the rest of the world what city you live?
I'm in Ocala, Florida.
No. You don't live there.
Yes, I live here. I moved here, but of course.
Who am I speaking to?
DJ.
DJ?
Yes?
I thought you lived in Maryland.
Oh, yeah. I used to live in Maryland, but I moved.
Oh, you moved.
Yes.
Oh, that's why I was confused. All right.
Yeah.
Well, you go, sunshine girl. Well, Miss 301-219, you have parting words?
That's me. That was me, Margaret.
Oh, that's you. Okay.
Yes.
So 631-472, are you there?
Yes, Margaret. This is Paulette. I am in touch with Neville Russell, Jim's son. He lives in Orlando. And I'm going to encourage him to call you next week, and I'm sure he can add more information to all that you have said tonight.
Oh, that is great. I am really pleased and blessed.
Yes.
And, you know, you might have known, and that was great, but there are a lot of people, I'm sure, who may even come by later, and I would like anyone on the board that this information was new to just let us know. I have 631-451 on the board, 954-274, 914-665, 561-278, 678-389, and a lot more. But if you would like to say something, I would be more than happy to open the mic to you. We have a couple of minutes left. And 631-451, your mic is open.
Hi, Margaret. This is Janine from Long Island.
Hi, Miss Janine. Welcome to the backyard.
Thank you. I just wanted you to know that I'm here listening, and I'm glad that my sister could give information, and she knew more. With this more than I do, so I'm glad that she called in and was able to give you information on what she knew, you know. So.
Well, I really appreciate that. Was any of this new to you?
A lot of it.
Oh, okay, because I sometimes feel a little silly that I don't know, but a lot of it was new to me.
Yes. But she knows a lot, so.
Right, yes, I really appreciate her.
I called her earlier and told her that.
Yes, she's been on. Yes.
That you were going to talk about him. So
yes, okay.
He was able
to
come.
You're always here talking about somebody of interest.
Right.
So I hope everyone on the board will return and also tell your friends. That we hang out here actually we normally do it on Wednesday night, but last night I got online and had some technical problems with my server, so I quickly changed it tonight and it worked out fine. So thank you all for being here, and if you're not on my mailing list and would like to get information about the shows, and I only send out information about the shows, I do not spam you or try to sell you anything. I'm not in that business. So if you would go to my website and just send me a email that you'd like to be placed on the list, then I will send you the information each week of what we're going to be discussing. Also, I'd like to share with you that you can, if you are, sending your email and you can listen to a show, just, click on the show and minimize it. And if you think that show will be interesting to one of your friends, just copy and paste the URL and send it to them, and they can listen to it. So I thank everyone for being here. You have made the evening just wonderful for me. And thanks for the additional information that everybody contributed. And I will see you next Wednesday. So as I always say, we are here on Wednesday at 8 o'clock. In the backyard, our labrish on Jamaica land, we love. So I'll see you all next week, and make it a great week. Thanks for being here. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Keep that.
Okay.
Bye. Bye.